have future wager at 50 to 1.
You do.
I got another 25 to win. Woo!
Mystic Journey out of the top takes the lead. She is Hendrick the Madoff.
If I don't get the first leg, Warren, I just walk home. I'm just straight out the door. I'm gone.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to another enormous edition of the Two Units podcast. We've got Group 1 racing at Morphettville yet again this week. The carnival continues, headlined, of course, by the Goodwood. My name's Nick Foote. Joining me, as always, the great man, the Sultan. How are you, brother?
Footy, good to be here, mate. How's your week been?
It's been pretty good, mate. Just, a couple of shows, pretty cruisy, bloody beautiful weather in Melbourne. Been nice to train in, actually. It's
nice one.
I'm a bit glass half empty, though, because I know when it's nice like that, there's only one way that's heading, and it is south.
Next week's actually going to be really good. So we've got some good weather coming up, and I'm keen for the races this weekend as well. Not as many bets as normal, but still a good quality card at Caulfield. Group 1 racing, of course, in Adelaide. Strong support card there. And news off the top of the program as well that the Coast meeting at Gosford has been moved to Newcastle as well. We haven't managed to have a look at that. And if you have done the form for Gosford, you'll be absolutely spewing because you need to redo your form all again because your two tracks couldn't be more opposite.
It's one for the good guys. I did a show earlier today and I refused to do Gosford. I just didn't like the card and now it's moved. And I feel like I've been rewarded in spades for that.
Yeah, well, I had Impact in Ags Hawkesbury into Gosford. And I know in Victoria we had Mornington, but at least it was Bendigo big track into Mornington. Two tight shitholes in a row for Saturdays is not acceptable. So Newcastle, big track, race well there today as well. So, yeah, we're not going to look at that meeting, so we'll probably stop talking about it.
But, yeah. I've got one a little bit later on at the bottomless sunny coast, so I'll be intrigued to just delve up there.
You haven't gone up there for a while.
She is wet and wild up there. Zaki territory. It's the Hollandale this weekend.
Yeah, the old Hollandaise.
Before we get into that, we've got some serious, serious business to take care of.
This fresh, delicious, tasty, meaty, turkey-filled, cold-cut combo. I eat three every day to help keep me strong.
It's not salt and supper time. That's where we're at. And we just like to celebrate great things in racing or otherwise, Salts. And, mate, you've come to the table prepared this week. It's run sheet Sultan.
Yeah, I was lying in bed the other night, thoughts running through my head, and I realised Love is Dead, and I'm loving Nick Dacos instead. But you send me a message. I get a message that says on WhatsApp. I'm like, hold on a minute. We never talk on that, just the two of us. Hey, Meta AI, show me two young men sitting around a table hosting a horse racing podcast. And then the AI just starts generating all these photos and then it starts snowballing. Put a horse at the table and get the horse talking into a microphone and it does it. Make the horse eat French fries. Of course, my first one was show me an image of two men recording a horse racing podcast with two beautiful women sitting on their laps feeding them ice cream. It actually did that not too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah. What else was there? And then
you went straight to the gutter.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And Meta AI though. For AI, it doesn't like a joke because I said, I'll give the horse, now give the horse an enormous penis. And it says, oops, I can't generate that image. Not good enough. But I just thought, if you go on your Meta AI, I don't know if it's WhatsApp must be owned by.
Yeah, it is.
That Meta company,
yeah, Facebook, WhatsApp,
whatever.
Facebook Messenger.
It's pretty extraordinary. We're usually against that. I'm usually against AI, particularly Frank Sinatra singing about his ball sack. But I thought this was quite entertaining.
The images are out of this world. You can get some absolute corkers. So I encourage all they've seen it on the Twitter sphere. I've hooked in. Well, our social media teams hooked
into it. Timbles running third there on the podium. I liked that one.
There were three third place podiums. It was good. Sizzle Timbers. Hey,
still ironing out the kinks.
Yeah, definitely. I've got an adult invitation this week to the Sultan Supper. And made a purchase a few weeks ago. I've sort of been talking to you about these, but I'm super impressed. I've bought a very nice set of Japanese knives, and these things, they're absolute samurai swords, these things. They're from the deep clutches of Mount Fuji. They're so sharp. If you can cut a Kent or a butternut pumpkin, like, it's just going through butter.
Yeah, Kent's hardcore.
Kent is hardcore. And it is like going through butter at the moment with these things. If you want to ever just tread a little bit more into adulthood and basically just grow up, go and get yourself a set of Japanese knives. They are a 10 out of 10.
Has it got a dragon on the blade?
I don't think it has got a dragon on the blade.
It's a very obscure South Park reference.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Is that from Friends? What's the episode where they go back into like the Japanese characters where they get the
Name chapter from the market? Butters gets his ninja star.
Friends with Weapons. Friends with Weapons.
Good.
That's one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah. A good knife. I actually don't have a really expensive knife.
Treat yourself, but even
like my best knife that I have when I'm carving up some chicken thigh, it just feels
you're a high flyer, mate. You deserve good knives.
Yeah, good call, actually. I'm bringing, even though I've got a Dell laptop and I'm trying to get a Dell sponsorship, I think I might have brought this to the supper before, but it's coming again. David King's HP laptop, his big hot penis laptop, HP. It just sits up on first crack and he just crunches stats and I'm sticking up for Kingy because I've just seen a little bit of, you know, vitriol against him on social media and people against his analysis. I think he's the best analyst in football, and people jump on him because he changes his opinion a lot. But tell me when you start getting presented with different sets of data that you don't change your opinion. If a horse has two bad runs in a row, do you keep saying that it's the best horse in X area? No, you change your opinion. I love Kingy. I love his big fat HP laptop. I just want to give him a shout out.
Good on you. Can't really join your discussion here. I don't watch a lot of footy shows.
He's a bloody good analyst, Kingy. He tells us he's behind the goals vision. He teaches us a lot of things that these trash journos aren't.
What about the Montagna? He always seems pretty well prepped.
I'm not a fan.
Fair enough. That's good.
I hate support.
Good lead into this.
That goal regulation signs are what? So you will listen to every damn word I have to say.
I see no finger paintings you bring home and they suck.
I'm calm.
It is Packing Ags time, and a nice little segue for you, Salts, who it seems like you're very footy driven today.
Yeah. Continuing on the football theme, there's just been a lot of chat this week about the holding the ball, and I'm sure you're over it as well. Mm. Nath Williamson went on 360 the other night, and I thought he acquitted himself brilliantly discussing the holding the ball. And this the amount of chit-chat I see on social media regarding holding the ball and various rules saying, oh, the game is gone, I'm not watching anymore. Like, every single person that says that continues to watch. And I challenge all of those people to sit through some of the games that weren't the feature games in the 80s and 90s and tell me it's not infinitely better now. Better athletes, faster, more skillful, stronger. There's some people with rose-colored glasses on. I'm pretty sure the game's in pretty good spot.
Mm. We had this discussion when we were on the golf trip and we somehow got into a YouTube wormhole and watching Biff's Bumps and Brawlers. And the people that do always say, oh, this is why I switched off ages ago, when clearly they haven't switched off.
Yeah.
And they're saying these things. You're spot on. You go back and you look at a 90s game, Saturday afternoon, the oval is just a complete bog heap. It's just like the product is just horrific. You
shouldn't be walking out on the field thinking that you could die as well bloody king hit.
That's very true.
So those people can get stuff, mate. That's enough footy for now.
Yeah. I'm sending people packing. Actually, one person in particular, this is a friend of mine from high school, sitting around, as you do, start quoting movies, TV shows. And I've got a mate who I've been friends with since I was 13, and he doesn't watch movies. People that can go through their entire life and just not watch movies, I just struggle to somehow understand what goes through their mind and what they get joy out of. How can you not watch movies or TV series?
Does he read?
No.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't look a reader.
Well, I used to, don't judge a book by its cover, my friend.
It's not bad.
I used to classify myself as someone, I'd say that I don't really watch movies, but I'd still seen like a lot of the classic comedies and stuff like that, and like everything that Adam Sandler had made. So there are exceptions.
Mm.
But I've come to the party the last 10 years. But when I was younger, like when I was a teenager, I never watched movies.
It's extraordinary. If you got through...
It's too busy being explosive.
If you got through the pandemic and you stuck tough and didn't watch movies...
I used to watch The OC.
You're built different. Did you say I used to watch The OC?
Yeah, and then me and the boys would sit around it was on Monday nights, was it?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then we'd sit around on Tuesdays and debrief on the Oval and then play stacks on.
Were you a Summer or a Marissa guy?
I was a Summer guy.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. I was a Marissa guy. No, I was a Marissa guy, actually. I got him confused.
I was Marissa early doors, but when I rewatched the whole series, like last year, I became a Summer guy.
Yeah, mate of mine's more of a Pacey guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mate Wall loves Pacey. So Chris Waller, this is taking down the top dogs. We don't muck around here. It's more just so around all the Craig Williams commentary. Like, I can't remember reading an article about Chris Waller bagging a ride from any other jockey. Like, if it's happened, I can't think of it off the top of my head. Like, he obviously defended James McDonald in the Queen Elizabeth, and it was every other jockey's fault. And, you know, he had a point about Willow's ride on Ahuriri in the South Australian Oaks. She should have won the race. And if she got some luck, she was really, really unlucky. But he's just a bit of a whipping boy, Willow. Whenever he finds one that's unlucky or has a bad ride, trainers and connections speak out about it. But I don't hear them speaking about it. Any other jockey, and he seems to be the nicest one out of them all.
What was said?
He said regarding his ride on Ahuriri in the South Australian Oaks, it was a bad ride. We went to the outside and got into all the trouble in the world. So bad luck, Craig. It was a bad ride. Horse is growing weight, going great. Craig Williams is still a great jockey.
Hmm.
So you give him a bit of a negative sandwich.
Yeah, it's still interesting. I mean, I don't know if he takes that same approach with a James McDonald or someone that regularly rides his better runners in Sydney.
Nah, so. I'm all for it if it's a regular thing.
Mm.
But the only regularity around it seems that it's always just Craig.
Yeah, it's so true. Bloody Craig.
Craig.
Yeah.
And that's it, mate. I was going to put Hawkesbury into Gosford, but we've been saved by Newcastle.
Yeah, and we covered it at the top. So
yeah.
wet and wild in the north, but good fours down sort of our way, which is great. And well, let's bloody get stuck into it.
When they're galloping to the gates, there's only one place to bet. Top Sport, the home of horse racing. Whether you're a sprinter or a stayer or just a fashion-conscious player, go the distance with bigger bet limits and top odds on every race, every time. Download the app for a faster, easier betting experience. Top Sport, feel the excitement.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
It's time now for Salts Specs, as always, brought to you by our great mates at Top Sport. We're going to be previewing races at Caulfield, of course, Morphettville as well, with that Group 1 card and a beautiful little undercard there. And I'll tell you what, I promised at the top of the show a little smash and grab at the Wet and Wild, about an hour and a half further north of Wet and Wild is the Sunshine Coast, but it's pretty much going to be the same thing. We'll kick off at Caulfield first. Saltsy, what can we expect in terms of the track conditions?
Just before we touch on Caulfield, I had one of the greatest days of my entire life at Wet and Wild when I was on Schoolies in 2006. My mate Baz ate six chicken drumettes without actually biting into one of them. He just shoved them down whole, nearly drowned to death, saved his life. He didn't then bathe for the rest of the week. There's plenty of blokes going around in rashies when it was 30 degrees, but I'll tell you what, it was one of the best days of my life that day. at Wet n Wild. I absolutely love water slides. The Beaver was there. Oh, it was good times. But the Caulfield track, the rail's back in the true position, good four, maybe even two or three. But I'm expecting an even surface with that rail back in the true position this week.
Yeah, it's well and truly benchmark season here in Melbourne. We usually call it benchmark 100 season. Only got one of those on the card. But we'll kick off with a handicap to start in race one for the two-year-olds, 1,100 metres. I'm playing a little bit more of a straight bat. But, Saltzy, you found a little bit of value here for the Anthony and Sam Friedman yard.
Well, this is one of the more intriguing races on the program. This is a cracker of a race. You've got Sternly Express carrying top weight after his big win in the showdown last start, where he was strong late. Stormberg through the same race was good, went wide on a day better to save ground. Denial has form around Symphony of Colour at Terrain, which ties in Stern. Mm. Tropicus for the Freedmans has jumped out really well, as has Bridal Waltz for Peter Moody and Kat Coleman. And then that's Archie's Girl, who's also in South Australia, has jumped out well at Bendigo. The one I've sided with is Sociable, another one for the Freedmans, a cult. And I tell you what, he was very good on debut. He jumped out really well, and with Tropicus, without his blinkers at Sandown. They popped blinkers on for his debut. He ends up back the fence at Cranbourne. The winner of the race was Angel Capital, who was enormous as start of a big weekend for Clinton McDonald, Jamie Carr in the saddle. That winner ran its last 200 metres alone. That was 8.5 lengths inside the class average. One of the biggest last 200 metre splits you'll see. Sociable was back inside it and looked like he had as much to offer, but he was held up very strong through the line. Would have loved this to be 1,200 metres, but he just gets an extra 100 today. Shoot start at Caulfield will help. Geordie Childs on strong late last start. I think he can be a big improver at double figure odds if he gets some luck.
Yeah, I'm good luck, $9.50 top sport. I'm with Stanley Express, who, she's under the two-year-old handicap, just has to pay for that debut win a little bit at the weights, carrying 59, but I think he's got a bit of ability, this guy. He, imagine just rolling up on debut, winning $1 million race. Clint McDonald, pretty happy.
Licking their lips when Bol Baskill's scratch at the gates as well, but might not have beaten him
either. Yeah, very, very true. Yeah. Might have set it up for a bigger win with that tempo. Yeah. Who would have known? No one knows. Vobis showdown win, very good. Three lengths inside benchmark, last 600. I like that the camps opted to stay here in this race at Caulfield. They scratched from Morphettville, which I thought was a very winnable stakes race. Another nice win here. I think we'll see him on his way to the sires in Queensland. So I'm pretty keen on Stanley Express. I think he can improve upon that first run in the $1 million Vobis showdown. So Stanley Express for me, $2.90. Top Sports, Sociable for Salts, $9.50 on Top Sport. Let's take a look now at race number two. And there's one resuming here for the Nick Ryan yard, who you're pretty keen on.
Yeah, he's beset. He's having his second Australian preparation now. And we know the age-old adage that they can take a prep to get going. And he was beaten twice in both of his runs last preparation, both times by Jimmy Starr. Now, he's gone on to prove overrated, but he's still a way better horse than a benchmark 70 on a Saturday, Jimmy Starr. So that's the right form for a race like this. His recent jump out at Flemington was an absolute corker. He was so strong through the line. And worth noting, the blinkers go on first time today. They weren't on in that jump out either. So he's a very astute trainer, Nick Ryan. They would have seen him. He would have galloped in some blinkers and they would have been happy with what they saw. So even if he'd jumped out that well and didn't have the blinkers going on first time, I would have liked him first up today, Geordie Childs in the saddle, to just stalk the tempo. And it's a race at Caulfield, the second event, where you've got Georgie Get Mad go forward and the rest of the race is just littered with horses that get back. So his beset can just be right on the heels of Georgie Get Mad, drawn one outside him and show a really strong turn of foot, just like he did last preparation and in that jump out. And yeah, I think he's one of the better bets on the program tomorrow at Caulfield. He's beset the second.
Yeah, $2.80. I just want to delve a bit deeper into this blinkers discussion, Salts. What's the benefit of putting blinkers on for race day versus jumping them out in blinkers and then going to the races in the blinkers? Is there just more of a sharp improvement?
Yeah, potentially. It's horses for courses, because quite often you see a horse with blinkers first time jump out in those blinkers as well, and you can say, oh, this horse has really reacted to them. So they might have just got some feedback in track work that he floats a little bit, and they might have had the opinion that they want to put the blinkers on. They didn't want to jump him out in the blinkers because they didn't want him to overdo it in the jump out tempo, as opposed to race tempo, where it's obviously a lot faster and the horse can relax. But they would have put them on in track work and given him a chance to show that he responds well to them. And, you know, hoping that's the case on Saturday.
Let's get to race four. It's a three-year-old handicap over the mile. I'm pretty keen on a 1x3er here with number four, SK. And I had a little bit of time for this guy in the spring as well, sort of specced him at odds, and didn't really live up to the potential he showed in his juvenile season. I like what the O'Brien stable's been doing with him this campaign. They've been working him up slowly through his distances and through the grades, and he's been placing, but he hasn't just quite got that win yet. And he opened up some $23. He's been backed into $13. I thought he went up the wrong price. Drops 5.5 kilos off last start. Maps to get a soft run with Harry Coffey in the saddle. Oh, I think he's a really good 1x3 bet at double figure odds. SK in the fourth Saltz, and he's one that I've been to the well with a few times, but I'm feeling like they're just sort of harnessing his potential a little bit here and just aiming up at some of these benchmark races. So SK for me, race four, number four, 1x3.
That's a really good race, mate. I don't have a firm opinion of the race. Shoeless was very unlucky last start at Cranbourne, missed the start strong late. Of course, Elphinstone has that Bendigo Guineas and Vobis Guineas form knuckle bones way down in the weights after running down the Shaper last start at Cranbourne. Knuckle bones was only off the one jump out. The Shaper's come out and won since at Caulfield last weekend too, and that's without even mentioning the one for Price and Kent Jr. that was absolutely dominant on debut at Pakenham last start. Shaw.
Yeah,
strong race. Plenty of hopes. Hopefully SK can salute at some odds for the unit army.
Yeah, the Elphinstone gets in really nicely at the weights, hey, with that Jayla Kennedy claim. She's doing some damage with that 3 kilo claim at the moment.
Yeah, good rider. 5 from 19 for the McAvoys as well, Jayla.
Look at old stats, mate, just off the top of the lid. Get a load of him. Rain Man. Race six. Benchmark 78, 2,000 metres. Geez, you've got some sort of rough stuff going on here, Saltz. What's happening? Queen takes King. Looks an each-way roughie here for you. And who's your other runner? Can't even pronounce this name.
Dashinga's Prestige.
Yeah, I'm glad you... I was waiting for a chop out on the name of Dashinga's Prestige. I was looking at run sheet.
I was happy to let you just fumble for a bit.
Well, I was looking at my Top Sport app. I was looking at the run sheet first. I was like, Saltz has spelt this horse's name incorrectly. But I don't think there's an
S. He's an absolute Dashinga.
There's no S that's supposed to go in between a D and a C.
Well, it's extraordinary. But Queen Takes King sounds like a pretty hot porno, if you don't mind. But
I was just thinking just a standard chess match. But
no.
You to you,
it's
brother.
A hot porn. But this will be porn. there should be some sort of crown if this thing gets up, because it's an absolute massive price to 10. Excuse me, Queen Takes King. Both Queen Takes King and Dashinga's Prince come through the same race last start as another one in the market here. Where are we? Five. Quantum.
What Quantum is Cat.
Quantum Cat. Yeah. Mm. They both come through the same race as Quantum Cat. Now, Quantum Cat got air and was able to run on, whereas Dashinga's Prestige was held up and he looked like he had a lot to offer. He's lightly raced. He's only had the handful of starts. And he's over here as well from Europe after winning two in a row in France at 2,400 metres. So rising distance for him will suit. And he looks like a talented stay with a bit of upside. And through that same race is Queen Takes King. It was a race won by Frigid, and that race has produced some good dashing form. Yeah, Dashing has come through the race. couple of others, I think, through the race as well have run well since. But Dashing, I've noted, of course, won a high-grade race since. And he just couldn't keep up early, Queen Takes King. It was just too short for him. He's got a really strong profile of being poor first up, like running a really low rating first up, and then jumping out of the ground second up and improving quite significantly. And he's done that over the last couple of preparations. He got very warm through the line last start. So expecting Jayla Kennedy from Barrier 3. Look, he won't be up on speed, and we're probably going one too early. He'll get better again as he gets out over further. But, yeah, hopefully he can get a bit of luck and be sort of running home hard late and at a big price each way. I've had something on Queen Takes King each way and Dashinga's Prestige the win.
Well, Dashinga's Prestige the win, $9 Top Sport. Queen Takes King each way, $34 and $8 to play. So some absolute juice box stuff.
Yeah,
there,
and you can get sort of north of 60s and 15s as well. So I wouldn't mind to see that price continue to come in, a bit of support come for him.
Race number 7 now. It's a 3-year-old filly's benchmark 70 here, Saltzy. And, geez, the favourite, Miss Aria, is at $3.80. It looks a pretty open race, though. You're siding with one for Matty Ellerton.
Yeah, it is a very open race, and you can draw a line through a lot of these. And one that you can draw a line through a lot of these with is Fragile Love. She comes through the same race as Bossy Nick last start, which was a sit sprint won by Sir Louis. She was beaten fair square by Bossy Nick, but there just wasn't enough tempo on there. She got left flat-footed, Fragile Love, but she worked to the line really strongly. I thought the run really indicated that she's looking for a rise in distance, and she meets Fragile Love 2.5 kilos better off at the weights. You can also tie her form in through She's Bulletproof. On the Heath track a couple back, Fragile Love arguably should have won the race. All dressed up, nowhere to go, held up badly. Meet She's Bulletproof 5.5 kilos better off. And also through Miss Aria, they both clashed over 1,000 meters on the Heath track. And Miss Aria came from, had the back of Fragile Love in the run, was able to be too strong late. But she meets Miss Aria 4 kilos better off at the weights from that race as well. So I expect her to be able to not be all the way out the back on Saturday. And with enough tempo in the race, Fallen, Cremant's Press Forward, Up to Mischief has been going forward in the country in New South Wales. There's enough speed in the race that she can sort of just sit maybe midfield, one off, and have last crack at them, Fragile Love.
Yeah, $9.50, Fragile Love, at the moment on Top Sport. So nice price for her there. Let's take a look now, mate, at Morfettville. We'll turn our attention to a beautiful card here. Geez, what a rejuvenated racing program it's been in South Australia this year. It's been fantastic. The prize money obviously attracting some of the better horses, but these feature races, and in particular, the Goodwood is exactly that. It's giving me Goodwood, mate, the Group One, because it's an absolute belter of a race. I notice you don't have a tip in it, but we might have a bit of a discussion about it a little bit later. Hey, just in terms of the track, it's getting pretty tired. So I noticed, like last year throughout the carnival, they sort of did these split meetings, Parks track, half the card into the Morfettville circuit. And this year they've just gone Morfettville course proper the whole way through. So the track's looking pretty tired. But what I do like about it is they're fanning and everyone's sort of getting their chance to win.
Well, speaking of Goodwood, you're not wearing dick pointers, are you? You don't have grey tracksuit pants on, do you?
Mate, I'm going full 90s. I'm in cargo shorts at the moment.
I'm those grey tracksuit pants. There used to be teachers that would wear them. They should be banned. You know, they are not allowed.
The hooly dooly.
Under no circumstances should the outline be seen on school premises.
Yeah, particularly where we were teaching. It's not. Yeah. Well,
anyway, regarding the track, so there was a lot more juice in it 2 weeks ago, and they got way off the fence. That's when Climbing Star cut the corner. And you know, they were running on way off the fence. The sweet spot last week was sort of around lane 6, but it wasn't easy to make ground. So they still sort of rolled off a little bit, but it was more on speed because the track was firmer, which wasn't easy to read because the rail went true and then to 2 meters, and you just thought that they it'd race the same again, but it raced different from the week before. So this week I'm not entirely sure, but that wear that you speak of and the fact we're in a third week of a carnival, oh, I completely agree that they should be fanning and most things should be getting their chance.
Let's kick off the program in race number four, which is the Group 3 SA Fillies Classic for the three-year-olds. Last year's race was won by a Let's Be Frank Baby from Moya Lass and Waka Mama. How are you seeing this one? We're going sort of head-to-head here.
Yeah, I'm really keen on one for the Danny O'Brien camp here. Jamie Carr engaged. I speak of Sungift, who has literally just been scratched as we're recording from Cranbourne on Friday night. And so she should have been, because this looks a great race for her to get some black types. She's still a maiden, but she is profiling like a horse that's going to eat up 2,500 metres. A couple back, she had some excuses behind De Rosario. He had excuses in his previous start behind Kohai, who's won since and is in this race. She stayed at 2,000 metres at Cranbourne last start. She was beaten by Saban, who the start prior was two lengths off Bold Soul, Warmonger, and Air Assault in a Port Adelaide Guineas over 1,800 metres. So that ties in all the form around this South Australian form. Her last 200-metre split was the sixth fastest of the night at Cranbourne last start. And the impressive thing about her, and something that is a little bit of a rarity in horses, is her last 200-metre split was faster than her 4 to 200-metre split. So she was getting extra warm through the race. Usually it's the other way around. That really does signal that a horse wants further. Blinkers go on first time. She backs up 8 days. They put Jamie Carr on. And I'm no breeding buff, but I do like when horses are sort of are on trial up in distance. I like to have a look back at their breeding and see, hey, is this something in her favour? And it certainly is. She's by Savabeel, and she's out of a poor Moy mare. He won an Epsom Derby at start five. And her dam is also a half to Efficient, who won a Melbourne Cup. So she has some severe slow twitch fibre bloodlines here. She's an aerobic breeding weapon. And I think she chews up 2,500 metres, spits it out. And she's the one that looks to me like she's aimed at this, where there's a few afterthoughts here.
Yeah, I'm with one of those afterthoughts, and that's number one, Positivity. But I think she rates clear of these. I think she's got a little bit of class in what she's done, and I think she's the one to beat. She was good in the Australasian Oaks. Prior to that, Group 3 winner in New Zealand and Group 1 runner-up as well. This is clearly an inferior race to the Australasian Oaks, where we saw that form stand up in the SA Derby, Coco Sun winning on the backup. I think she maps to get a sweet run too, in behind the leader. I got a box seating. I got a very hard to run down, but you got to take $2.50 to find out. So $2.50 for me on number one, Positivity, and Saltsy with the Bloodlines Extraordinaire is with number 12, Sungift, at double figures, $10.
All right, here we go. Mano e Mano. Race five on the program. It's a listed race for the fillies and mares over the 2019 metres, the Centuria Stakes, or Centuria.
I think it is the Centuria. And yeah, I fumbled across this one last year, and I think I called it the Centaura.
I should have just not said it.
You went past it, and I was going to ask you, what's it called, mate? So the Centuria Stakes for the fillies and mares.
The best thing about being a form analyst is
you don't get intro'd
for it. Things like that, for horse names, the market reads the horse name first, then the host introduces the horse to you. So if you have faith in the market person and your host, then you just follow their lead, man.
In Josh Jenkins, you trust. I think this is as good as bet as you'll see. Good a bet you'll see this weekend, and that's with number four. See what I see. $1.85, no spoil. This mare's going for six on the bounce. There's just no shock. She's come up at that price. Very progressive mare. I love what Danny O'Brien's doing with her in terms of just stepping her through ever so gradually through the grades. And this looks like the perfect introduction into black type. It's a listed race. The field, I'm not sure, is any better than what she faced last start over 2,000 at Mornington. Sione's racing in really good fashion, but this is her first time north of 1,600 metres. You've got to step up to 2019 here. I think she's just so well placed. See what I see, and she's going to tick off that black type here. She gets 4 kilos off Sione as well, so very well placed, very hard to beat. See what I see, a good mare going places.
You'd be clutching at straws if you're trying to build an argument against her. She's absolutely flying. Looking to make it 3 on the trot, the Footler. Race 6 is the Proud Mistakes. It is a Group 3 set weight superiority. Fillies and mares over 1,200 metres. Little 2-bet Tommy here, mate.
Yeah, a little 2-bet Tommy. I'm siding with number 4, Grey River, and number 19, Right to Party. Grey River, she's a ripper. She was runner-up in this race last year, trained by John O'Connor. But she was excellent first up this time in Group 3 John Hawke Stakes, wide on the track. She gave the winner extremely lucky her back, but still stuck on bravely, going down under half a length. She profiles as a horse that improves sharply second up. She'll be able to settle close to the speed again from a good draw. I think she'll be very hard to beat at around $6, $6.50. She's top sport. And number 19, Right to Party, $17 for this girl. I've always had a bit of time for her. Can certainly entertain her at a big price first up. Really liked her 800-meter jump out at Cranbourne. She gets Group 1 9 Dwarf on to Hunt Runs from Barrier 4 as well. I'm going to 2-bet them for a good result. That's Grey River $6.50, Right to Party number 19, some $18 top sport, yeah. If you don't mind.
I looked hard into her. I've always had a bit of time for her as well. Big flashy grey. She got a turn of foot. Goes well fresh. The jump out was good as well. She missed the start in that jump out. A barrier blanket goes on first time. So I was just a little bit wary if she was slow away. But if she isn't slow away, she should get a nice run up near the speed.
Let's turn our attention to race 8, which is the feature on the day. It's the Group 1. It's the Goodwood set weights penalties, 1,200 metres. It's got some... got some history about it, this race, Saltz. So, we know last year is obviously won by Royal Merchant at some $20, but when you look through the honour roll, also includes the likes of Takeover Target in 09 and Black Caviar in 2012. It's one of the great sprint races on the program as the year goes round in terms of these sprint races. And this one's certainly no exception. We've got some Quokka form, we've got some Eastern States form, we've got some local hopes and coming through that Group 1, the Sangster. I'm keen to play in this. I'm keen for you. I don't know how deeply you've dived into this race. I know you're not having
a
bet.
I'm into it.
But I'm really keen to hear your thoughts and how you're assessing and perhaps even just giving an on-top assault, even though I know you're not having a bet.
Well, firstly, Amelia's Jewel's got to be a false favourite. She's got to be under the odds, doesn't she?
Can I ask you with her? So this is her last run for Simon Miller. Blinkers go on for the first time. Is this a bloody sidearm Jonty Rhodes from point throw at the stumps, or is this the grand final play blinkers on that Simon's been waiting for?
If it was the grand final play, they'd go on for the Quokka, wouldn't they? That's what you would have thought. Worth more money. Maybe just a stopover on the way over. But for me, she's a shade overrated. And I've never been really kicked up for her as she's obviously a good horse, and I'm not bagging her, but we still need to see her measure up at Group 1 weight for age level before we start hailing her an absolute superstar. And she's going to be better over 1400 meters and you know 1600 meters. So she's not as effective, even though she is a very good sprinter. She's better over those other distances. So I thought that she was under the odds, given the fact that she gives Oscar's Fortune weight from the Quokka last start. He'll be up on speed. So she's under the odds in that sense, and also from a rating sense as well. So Johnny Rock has obviously got that massive rating that he ran in the Manicato.
Is that an anomaly? Willie Reed, was it?
Oh, William Reed, sorry.
Yeah.
He gave IME Winburn and meets her 2.5 kilos better off at the weights. But I thought her run last start was quite good in the Sangster because she dipped at the start. And then because of that dip, she just had to be used up a little bit more. And you never know how horses can respond to that. I thought she boxed on quite well. And she also looks to just get complete control over this race as well with Oscar's Fortune rolling along. She'd be the one that I'd dip on top just because she's got a terrific map. And you know that she's going to be honest and she can control things. Benedetta, the blinkers going on, Jamie Carr on, but you know, they're going on first time and we've seen close to the best from her as well. So not sure about that. Johnny Rocker, of course, each jump out between runs was an absolute beauty at Flemington. So he can run well, of course.
What do you make of the the Sangster form going into this? You've obviously got Climbing Stars, the winner of that race, and coming in at a $17 chance.
Yeah, well, if she repeats what she did last start, then she's over the odds again. He's going to need a bit of luck again. Lockie Nindolfi, he's drawn a similar barrier to last start, and then he sort of dived back to the inside and had plan B. But, you know, that was a career peak for her, and she's come back a new mare this preparation, so she might still have more peaks ahead. You can make plenty of angles in this race.
Yeah.
It is a seriously open race, and sort of that's not why I'm having a bet. I sort of lean to IME from a map perspective, but then you want the inside to be holding up by this stage.
I've got a huge opinion of Amelia's Jewel, and I'm not tipping her here. I think she's going to be better 1400, 1600 meters, but I will sort of defend her to a degree from the Quokka. She was drawn really wide, and this is it was a terrific ride, Damien Lane. He got her into the 1-1, fantastic. Mm. But given the tempo of the race, overpass up top, I think it took away from her sprint being in that position as well. But then if you're snagged back from that wide draw, you're not winning either over 1200 meters. So I think she's still very effective and wouldn't surprise if she won over 1200, but I still think she's going to be better 1400 to 1600 meters, Amelia's Jewel, and even ridden a touch colder here could prove, and you know, drawing a better barrier could prove a better run than what she produced in the Quokka. But I still think Oscar's Fortune from that race is the one that I want to be with. And I got Oscar's Fortune on top. He beat Amelia's Jewel two back and then ran third in the Quokka, but gets that 3 kilo weight swing here. And he looks the 1200 meter horse, and his map's super. You spoke about IME being able to push forward and control proceedings. Well, Oscar's Fortune's the one that's going to get the run up on speed as well. So he's the one that I've got on top. And I just want to spec Stretton Angel. And you might just sit here and go scratch your head and go, what is this guy doing? Let go of her. But I thought a run in the Sangster had some merit. She pressed forward from the wide draw, sat three wide. She kept finding. And last preparation, I kind of make a similar argument to what I'm talking about with Amelia's Jewel. Her best runs come when she's got the ability to be saved up and show that turn of foot. And she's drawn much kinder here in seven with a back to follow, blinkers applied for the first time, 52.5 kilos. I think she's over the odds around $30. So I'm just going to spec her. But Oscar's Fortune on top for me, and what's a terrific addition of the Goodwood side.
Yeah, it's a great rise.
Mate, I've got a little before we go there, we got to get to race nine first, which is a benchmark 68 over 1,200 meters. And you're just going to flick one off the pads here, because I think Salt's Tendulkar's about to explode in the last at Morfettville.
Yeah, just keep an eye on what the track's doing for the 14, Sachem Tendulkar. Stable debut in Adelaide last start over 1,100 metres, ran the fastest last 600 metres of the day. Huge last 600 metres, terrific run. Little further today suits, speed looks good. I just want to be able to see them make some ground before I back him, because he's going to get back. And if they can't make ground, then you may as well just throw your ticket in the bin. So, hold off on him, but let's just see the tracks playing well enough.
Sachem Tendulkar, $4.60 in the last track watch there. I'm just going to duck up past Wet and Wild. I'm going to give Baz some CPR as he gets pulled out of the wave pool. going to get his rashie on. And I'm going to go to race 8 at the Sunny Coast, which is the listed Gold Coast bracelet for the 3-year-old fillies, 1,800 metres. It's a filly running around here by the name of Redbreast, $5.50. She is the fit horse that I want to be with here. The favourite, Molly Bloom, who comes across from New Zealand, is taking up far too much of the market for my liking. It's Redbreast's high rating performances at benchmark level on soft going last start. She went 10.5 lengths inside benchmark to the 600, held them through the line. She goes straight to the top. She finds the best part of the track at the Sunny Coast and proves very hard to run down. Molly Bloom obviously brings good Group 1 New Zealand form, SP $2.70 versus Orchestral, which, you know, you might say is pretty scary, but bigger targets in mind for that Kiwi runner with the Oaks and the Derby ahead. So Redbreast is my best of the day at Sunshine Coast. Salts, man. I wish that I could make her see. She's just a unit. Unit of the week time, where we get $200 bonus bets courtesy of Top Sport, and the winnings, of course, go to our unit and Racing Hearts, who are building a very nice kitty for the terrific work they do down at Muruduk. We have the Tau on as our unit of the week this week. He messaged in his names. He goes by the name of Towley.
I'm a Tau.
And this is what Towley likes.
Hey lads, thanks heaps for having me on as unit of the week. Shout out to Top Sport and to Racing Hearts. Got a bit of a late call up, so not a lot of form being done, but the Jimmy Star form for He's Beset looks pretty good. So that's race 2, number 6, He's Beset. Concern is that there's not a lot of speed engaged. Hopefully Geordie Childs can get him into a decent spot. He settled back up midfield the last two starts. Hopefully we can be a bit closer and hopefully get the chocolates. Apologies to anyone who's on that horse at the moment. My form is absolutely appalling, and I've just added a few extra kilos to Geordie Child's saddle. So fingers crossed, I don't put a mocker on it too much. But race 2, number 6, Caulfield. Thanks, lads. Probably won't see you next week.
And then I'll go to the lake.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
What?
When you get out of the water, you need to dry off.
Oh, McTowley. Oh, the audio's cooked there. But thanks very much, Towley's Towley. How bloody glass half empty was that towel? He was just so down on himself.
I'm on He's Beset as well, and I might be Towley at Camp Tardy Kaka if He's Beset loses, and I might genuinely pick up myself a heroin addiction just like Towley.
You and Towley need to go get high and cheer up, because he's so down on himself, the Tau. Two units, best bets time. What's your best this week, Salts? You go first.
My best is He's Beset at Caulfield. Race 2, me and the Tau.
Oh,
me and the Towley, you got blinkers on first time.
Yeah, good on you, you and the Tau. Well, my best bet is Morfettville, race 5, number 4. See what I see? She's just a mare that's building a picket fed, 6 on the bounce. Up you go, no spoil. But if you're looking for a bit more value, race 8, Sunshine Coast Redbreast. She's got big red breasts, and she's going to beat them.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I've done 47 minutes into this show, and that's the gear I'm running with.
Yeah, so I'm going to invoice you for some overtime here, mate. Let's go chop chop.
No worries. What are you doing this week, Salts? You working?
I'm working on Sunday, Mother's Day, and then off for Mother's Day dinner after. Who are you umpiring this week?
I've got 2 games this weekend, actually. I've got the Dogs and the Tigers on Saturday night at the G.
But they reckon that you won't cover enough K's in that one.
Yeah, well, I'm a bit nervous about this one. I've actually got Keilor versus Greenvale mixed under 12s at 9:35 at J Brown Reserve in Keilor on Sunday morning. So it's community umpiring round this week, Salt. So I'm heading out into the community. I'm playing with a young 12-year-old, Petro. Me and Petro, we're going to set it up.
Surely you still can invoice for that.
Mate, this is for the love of the community. Love of the community.
Good work, mate, getting out there in the community amongst the people. You're usually up in your ivory tower for the most part, so it's good to see you getting your hands dirty, mate.
Mate, I did a 12-year apprenticeship in the cold southern suburbs of Hobart, mate, down in the Huon Valley as well. So don't you worry about earning your stripes. Anyone that wants to get involved, I urge you to sign up. There's plenty of people out there that have got enough feedback for me, Salts. So I encourage them, go down to your local, get involved, saves me, people like me doubling up on the weekends.
I'm going to send David King down there with his HP to critique your performance.
Why are you so obsessed with Kingy's laptop, the HP?
Mate, it's brilliant. It's so good. Pay attention if you're watching any football shows, everyone. Whenever someone else speaks, Kingy just stares in his laptop and he doesn't listen to them. And then he asks them another question. It's brilliant. I love it.
It's like me and you when we do the when I give a tip at Morphinville. All right, listeners, all the best across the course of the week, and we'll be back next week in your ears on the Two Units podcast. Unit Army, you thought I was gone, but I am back. If you loved today's episode or any other episode for that matter, please head over to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. And if you're feeling extra friendly, could even do both. If you do like what the Sultan's throwing down as well and you want to get a few more tips from Sunday through to Friday, then head over to twounits.com.au. We've got plenty of packages there to suit everyone. You'll get the Sultan's full staking plan as well. If that's not for you though, tune in next week right here on the Two Units podcast.